To make, please come on up. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. Take note of youth. Junior and senior youth are beginning this week, so let's keep youth and leaders in our prayers as they begin a new season. And let's thank God for willing youth workers. That is a real blessing. I want to say a personal thank you to whoever is responsible for the tech. The website, what's happening there, that we can listen to sermons online now. Is that great? Have any of you taken advantage of that? Let's give them a hand, whoever is responsible. Jesse, who is responsible for that? There's a whole team of them? Mostly Jerry. Very much appreciated and really a great resource for all of us. The link is there if you are unfamiliar with it. Please read through your bulletin for all the other important announcements. This morning I want to say, come on.
Thanks. So just to say, in the women's class, we want to start a new study, which is on paper a six-week study, which I guess means about 6 months for us, but it's called Women Without Rival. It's a book by a lady named Lisa Bevere. It'll be some video and some discussion time for us. She says this. Based on the scripture talking about we are uniquely formed. Unique means the sole example of, prototype, or only one, or without equal or rival. Our Father God stands alone without rival. So we shouldn't be surprised that in his eyes we are daughters without rival, which eliminates every reason that we should ever compare with one another. So that's one of the things that she talks about. It'll be, I think, a really good study on who we are in Christ, and great discussion time often happens there. So you're welcome to join us for the first session of that next Sunday. We do have the books already, so if you know you're interested, just walk into that Sunday school class. There's a box of books, and pick one up. We'll be reading the first chapter for that first session. So you're welcome to come.
It's very handy. She has no idea about this, but this morning we want to say a special thank you to this lady. For many years, Charlotte has organized the worship times for the Sunday school youth room class. She does this tirelessly. She does it quietly and humbly and often without any acknowledgement, almost always. This morning, we want to say thank you, and we have some flowers for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was well planned. There we go.
I know Marilyn mentioned the kickoffs. I just wanted to mention that if you need a waiver form, please grab one. There's some on the bench just by the door. If you need a waiver form for the Amazing Corn kickoff, just grab one from there. Or if you can't find one, come find me. Thanks.
One more very special lady that we want to thank this morning. Sarah Wall planned and implemented a very successful, visionary DVBS week. She put a lot of heart, a lot of time, a lot of prayer, a lot of love into it. And our children and the children of the community, the surrounding area, were blessed by it. And we want to say thank you. And would you come forward? We've got some flowers for you, too. Two weeks ago, we had a special guest speaker by the name of Victor Engbrecht. From his sermon, I quote with permission, "The Bible rules. It has authority in and over the lives of all people throughout all ages. The same breath of God that breathed life into Adam is the inspiration of the Holy Scripture. Through the work of Holy Spirit, 66 books by 40 authors over 1,500 years produced a consistent revelation of God in pursuit of reconciliation with those who bear his image." That's us. The Bible is authentic. It is true, reliable, and trustworthy. This Holy Scripture is a supreme, unchanging, inerrant, infallible, eternal Word of God that presides as the sole comprehensive revelation of God and the sole governing document in the affairs of God and man. Its authority and sufficiency extend from God to the whole of Scripture, and it remains the final authority in all matters on which it speaks. End of quote. We have the privilege of meeting each Sunday morning in classes all over this building and in this room to study and learn about God through his Word. We have the privilege of studying it in our homes freely and without fear. Today, we want to celebrate with thanksgiving that awesome privilege. Will you bow with me? Father God, thank you for your deep love for us, and that your love extends to each and every person, each and every situation. Father, come this morning and minister to every heart here. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for those who teach it here. Thank you for those who honor it and try to obey it. Stir in us, Father, a deep love for you and your Word, and give us strength to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. The children are going to lead us at this time.
Good morning. We'll continue our singing. I won't make you do any actions. All I'm going to ask for you is to stand and sing heartily. We'll begin with number 12, We Praise Thee, O God, Our Redeemer, and follow that with the wonderful chorus, 10,000 Reasons. Number
At this time, we'll take the offering, and I would invite Lindsay Miller to share her gift of music with us. Thank you, Lindsay. Well done. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, for these gifts, we offer them to you. We thank you for your provision in our lives. And we offer these gifts back to you and ask that you would use them and further your kingdom with them. Father, we thank you for this church family. Thank you, especially this morning, for all those who serve the children and the youth and the adults as teachers in Sunday school. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the youth. Lord, I ask that you would jealously guard them, protect them. Would you instill in them an unquenchable love for you and your word, that they may stand firm day by day, all their days. Thank you for the families represented in this congregation. Thank you for the marriages. We ask your jealous protection over them also. Father, we continue to pray for Tenley and her family, for Skylar and her family. We continue to come to you and ask for healing and help moment by moment as we await that healing. Help us to be faithful in surrounding them with your love. Thank you for your Spirit, who is our guide and our comforter. Thank you that you are here. Speak to us through Zelma this morning. Thank you for the words you've placed on her heart. Thank you for her strong example and for her willingness to share this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness. We want to say we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Going to ask those who are Sunday school teachers and worship leaders with both here and in the youth room, would you just stand up for a second? If you've taught or you've substituted, these are the people who work with your kids, and just want to say thank you personally. It's a great honor to work with each and every one of you. Thank you for all that you do for us. We as a Sunday school team feel a tremendous loss at the passing this spring of a much-loved, long-serving teacher, Vicki Friesen. I remember her last day of teaching. She was sitting right there in that bench. And it was a few years back. During our singing time, we asked the children which of them had been taught by Vicki, and every single hand went up. I know there would have been many more in the junior youth class and the senior youth class had we asked them as well. Vicki impacted many lives in her own quiet way by her dedication and her consistent service over many years. Her legacy lives on through her husband, Alan, who serves faithfully in the adult Sunday school class, which meets in the fellowship hall, and also through their lovely daughter, Robin, whose creative and colorful classroom is a testimony of much love, time, and energy spent on her students. We thank God for Vicki, for the legacy she leaves, and for her family who carry on by her example. Early last fall, one of our young adults made a request that their class meet with the seniors' class, for the seniors as in, do we know who the seniors' class is? They've been meeting for as long as I remember, and a lot longer. They're an incredible example. He requested that they meet with the seniors class for discussion, sharing, and learning. The youth and young adult classes prepared a list of about 20 questions, which were submitted to the seniors class a few weeks in advance of their joint class time. This became a highlight for Ingrid and I in this last Sunday school season. And we want to say thank you to the seniors class for your willingness to share. Thank you for your willingness to share of your lives and your story and your walk with the Lord. And we know that this was not easy for you. But we thank you. The result was a coming together of generations, and we believe it was rich and rewarding for all. We have asked one person from each age group, Caroline Entz and Luke Clausen, to share their perspectives on this multi-generational class. Caroline, may we ask you to begin, please?
This past winter, our Sunday school class was invited by the youth for a two joint Sunday school class to answer questions concerning our faith and walk with God. We received a set of questions. To familiarize ourselves with them beforehand, I will read the first question, seek to answer it, and then I will comment on what I've learned from this experience. Here's question number one. What has made you, or how are you able, to stay consistent in your walk with God? I'll repeat that. What has made you, or how are you able, to stay consistent in your walk with God? When our class read this question, it was surprising that we all came up with the same three answers: Bible reading, prayer, and the singing of hymns and gospel songs. I'll touch on one of these: singing hymns and gospel songs. Singing these songs has always been an important part of my life. I've been able to participate in choirs and smaller singing groups, and in that way I could serve God and others at church, hospitals, Eden, and Salem. There is a certain depth, comfort, and connection with a higher power found in these songs. The music therapist at Eden could tell you what a soothing effect these songs have on a troubled individual. Hymns bring back memories. When I hear or sing, "I come to the garden alone," or excuse me, "God will take care of you," I remember my father. These songs were sung at his funeral by a man's quartet. There will always be a special place in my heart when I hear these songs. Who of you has ever sat or stood at the bedside of a dying loved one? The evening that our mother passed away, a singing group came into the room and sang for her. One of the songs they sang was, "The Lord is My Shepherd." How fitting that was, since the 23rd song was my mom's favorite scripture. Minutes later, she passed away. Hymns bring out certain emotions. In the hymn, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," the words and the music seem to complement each other, and we are led into quiet contemplation as we remember our Savior's suffering and dying on the cross. And then in 606, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," our voices rise up to connect us to that higher power as we worship our Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. Our forefathers have left us with a wonderful heritage in these great songs of our faith. I'm so grateful and blessed how these hymns and gospel songs have enriched my life and helped me to walk a closer walk with God. To God be the glory. So what did I learn from this experience? Would you believe more questions? It was a time when I needed to evaluate or reevaluate, what do I believe? Are my values in tune with the teaching of the Bible? What about traditions? And most important, am I honoring God with my life? When doubts and fears assail you, we have an anchor that is steadfast and sure. As I pondered all these concerns, I heard the soft voice, "Be still and know that I am God." We walked into the youth center with this list of questions. I walked out of the youth center with a question of my own. Did the youth learn something from our experiences? How we face the challenges that are found on this road called life? How we persevered in times of difficulties and anxieties?
I was really excited to have that time with the seniors class, and I just want to say again thank you very much to that class for engaging in that discussion with us. That was, that was very, very enlightening. That discussion was definitely an excellent opportunity for us to have an honest, upfront conversation about faith, and I think there's often a bit of a communication barrier that we ourselves create between the young people and the seniors, and it was really good to have that intentional time together. Some of the I think we had some of our misconceptions set right. One of the things that we quickly realized was that the seniors class, well, we might think that they're, you know, probably all been here since the Reformation at least, and you know, have been all come from very similar backgrounds and stuff. We quickly realized that there was great variety in their background and what sort of church setting they had grown up in, and makes for a lot of different perspectives on how church is done and. Yeah. Another thing that my grandma Zacharias said was that in her growing up years, they didn't talk about faith very much. And I think that was a sentiment shared by a number of the, if not most of the senior class. And that was very interesting to us that these kinds of conversations didn't happen very often, and that to discuss these things with us was a new experience, and it was very exciting for us to hear some of those things that maybe hadn't been shared or thought about very often before. Zelma Fair shared about some of her struggles in faith, and when a time when she was seriously questioning her faith, and that was also very encouraging to hear some of those stories of struggle, and to see that while we can learn from the wisdom of our seniors, that we don't have to feel intimidated by their perfection in the faith walk, that we can walk alongside them as well as we learn from them. We learned, as from Caroline Entz and from others, how some of them fostered their relationship with God. She was saying through reading the Bible, prayer, and singing, and very similar ways that we often do as young people. I mean, they make sense for all of us, and it was also encouraging to hear some of the struggles they have in doing those things just as we do, getting to keep reading our Bibles and keep in constant prayer. One question that I remember us coming out with that Armin Entz shared, where he had a question for us, we suddenly got thrown under the bus and had questions thrown at us, was that... how do we show our respect for God? And the seniors, I think some were wondering how we as young people show our respect. And I think it's a serious question for us as young people to consider as we think about how we relate to God, especially in our modern age. We have different ways of showing our enthusiasm and things like that, but how do we show our respect for God?
Thank you for sharing from your heart. Very much appreciated. And that leaves us all some questions to contemplate, doesn't it? Very significant time of learning together, and I hope that we can continue multi-generational experiences. It's a great joy and privilege for us to present our students who are being promoted today from grade 3 to grade 4 with a study Bible from the church. Dave Ginter was their grade 3 teacher. He will be presenting them with their Bibles this morning. We've chosen a verse for each of these students, which is printed inside their Bibles. I'll read the verse as they come forward to receive their Bibles. So as I call your name, can you come forward, please? Wesley Klippenstein. The verse we've chosen for Wesley is Psalm 105, verse 5. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Lindsay Miller. For Lindsay, we've chosen Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Drayden Penner. Is Drayden here this morning? No. Okay. Drayden's Bible will get to him. And Silas Wall. For Silas, we've chosen Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Can we say a short prayer for these young people? Father, thank you for your word. And as these young people have received their own study Bible this morning, I pray that you will reveal yourself through that word to them each and every time they open it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you as you read it. Ingrid now is going to go through the list of our Sunday school classes.
Well, promotion is a time when we move on, so we'd like to recognize that Shaylin Fair and Morgan Fair have finished grade 12 and are moving on to other ventures, studies, and so they become part of the young adult class. The high school class was a combination of junior high and senior high, so other than Morgan and Shaylin leaving the class, there won't be anybody joining the class. But we do have some junior highs this next year. In grade 7 will be Caden Dick, Jonah Ginter, Raven Penner, and Zoe Peters. And Ray Clausen will be starting off in that class with them. Then we have a grade 5 and 6 class. It'll be taught by Scott Fair. And the students are Reese Fair, Greg Klippenstein, and Thaddeus Wall. Then we'll have a grade 4 class, taught by Robin Friesen, and her students will be Wes Klippenstein, Lindsay Miller, Drayden Penner, and Silas Wall. We will have a grade 2 and 3 class taught by Melissa Penner, and her students will be Cyrus Fair, Peyton Lowen, Kiera Penner, Haley Peters, and Adelia Wall. Kindergarten and grade 1 class will be taught by Dave Ginter. His students will be Tenley Fair, Myla Fraze, Trapper Peters, and Asher Wall. Then we have, the age 3 and 4 class, and we have only one returning student, which would be Lexton Penner, and we have quite a few new students who can start this year: Reed Falk, Scarlett Fair, Sadie Fraze, Bree Hildebrand, and Briar Peters. Have I missed anybody? Welcome to Sunday School. Next Sunday, we'll be meeting here for worship at 9:15, and then go to your classes.
Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, this morning we acknowledge you as the Lord of the church and of our lives. You have led this church community from its earliest beginnings to where we are today, through seasons of trial and testing, and during times of triumph and rejoicing. We have been graced by your presence through baptisms, communion services, the ministry of music, teaching and preaching, deacon work, committees, DVBS, clubs, youth gatherings, and also with the Sunday school. We give you thanks for the great story we have to proclaim, the story found in your word, the story of your creating this world, calling forth a people, leading them to the promised land, sending judges and prophets to help direct their path to you. And when they still had difficulty finding their way to you, you sent your Son to show us the Father, to provide the way of salvation, freedom from sin and bondage through your life, death, and resurrection. Your cross became the way for us to reestablish our relationship with you. This morning, we have a group of dedicated teachers willing to teach. Give to them a continued hunger for your word, a reliance on you, an active prayer life, a love for their students, and may the light of your word continue to find its way into their hearts and minds, so they may teach and lead with a sense of calling and conviction, rooted in a continued love for you and your word. Bless them, we pray, on their journey. Give graciously to them what they need, so that students' lives will continue to be impacted by their words, actions, and example. Bless the children who come to learn, and give to them an open and willing spirit to hear from your word, to allow it to soak into their lives, to have it lead them to you, its author. Bless them so that they would be able and willing to see themselves as part of the ongoing story of what you are doing in their lives and in this world. Bless us as a church that we would not cause any of these children to stumble. Guide and direct our steps as we seek to be faithful followers and teachers of your word in all that we believe and say and do. In the strong name of Jesus we pray, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Turn to number 544 in your hymn books, Blessed Assurance. This is one of those songs that is just solid. It's a solid song. It's comforting. It's reassuring. It's a song I grew up with at the Rosenfeld-Berchtaler Church. I'm sure we sang it at least twice a month. It was just a favorite, and it still is one of mine. So let's sing together, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. number 585. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing.
I'll be reading Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw, at the water's edge, two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Then they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the sight of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Shaylin. It's promotion time, and when the Sunday school classes are promoted to a higher class, Webster's dictionary defines promotion as, "It's the act or fact of being raised in promotion or rank, and the act of furthering the growth or the development of something. And I searched in the Bible for promotion stories, and I found three of them that really appealed to me. One was the first one that David, the shepherd boy, was promoted to be the king over Israel. And we all know that story. He became a man after God's own heart. And the second one is found in Matthew 25. It's the story about the man that went on a far journey. He left his stewards in charge, and he gave them 5 talents, 3 talents, and 1 talent. And then when he came back, 2 of them were promoted, and we know 1 wasn't promoted. And then the third story, which is the one Shailen just read to us, I found it most fascinating. I believe that this story probably took place in the morning or the mid-morning. The fishermen had just docked their boats and were washing their nets. They were probably not a very happy situation, for they had worked all night. They caught nothing. They were tired, hungry, and they had this fight to get onto shore because there was this big crowd here. But nevertheless, the boats had to be cleaned and the nets had to be washed. And there was no fish to sell that day and no income for the day. So that it still had to be done. But then they saw Jesus coming through the crowd of this massive crowd that was standing on shore. And he came through the crowd, and he pushed, or they pushed and shoved so that they could get a little closer to see and to hear as he was preaching and teaching them the word of God. And I wonder, in today's world, would our crowds come this early in the morning to hear the word of God preached? Or do we only come when some celebrity or some famous person comes? And I wonder, too, how long could that person hold our attention? You know, it seems to us that Jesus never left on his own. Either he sent them home, or he simply crawled into a boat and went away, went across the lake. In fact, in Mark, it tells us that they had been with Jesus in the desert for 3 days straight, and probably a lot of them never had any food to eat during those 3 days. And finally he said to the disciples, "We've got to feed them." So I wonder how that would go over in today's world with us. But now, Jesus got into Simon's boat, and he said, "Go offshore a little bit, and so that I can talk to the crowd a little bit." So he spoke, and he taught the crowd. And we don't know in this case how long he did speak this time. But he spoke for a while, and then his focus all of a sudden turned to Simon. He said, "Simon, launch out into the deep and go for a catch." And we notice here too, he didn't say, "Let's give it another try." He says, "Let's go for a catch." So it was obviously what he intended. And we find that Simon Peter was a little doubtful. He says, "But Lord, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, the fishermen could hardly believe their eyes. Their nets were breaking. Both boats were full, overflowing, and beginning to sink. And now the other fishing partners were there with them as well, and they were just as astonished at the catch of fish that they had caught. When Simon realized what had just happened, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Oh, sir, please leave us. I'm too much of a sinner for you to be around." We see Simon Peter here as a totally broken man. He had never seen himself to be who he really was until he saw the greatness of his master and what Jesus saw in him. But Jesus had compassion on him. He looked at him and said, "Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fishers of men." So I think this is one of the greatest promotions that we too can receive, is to become followers of Jesus and win souls for him. And seeing this is a promotion, I thought I would like to share a few promotions that have occurred right here in our congregation, in our church. I would like to tell you my first teaching class ever. I was terribly insecure. I had never taught Sunday school before. In fact, I had never even been to Sunday school. But I already had two children in Sunday school. So I thought, I guess it's time that I go there and do it myself. I had a class of 10 students. They were 10-year-olds. And my first lesson was on creation. So I started, "In the beginning, God." And the little guy piped up and says, "I thought God had no beginning." Not only did I panic teaching, but being questioned by a 10-year-old, it threw me for a loop. And I just didn't know what to do at that point. But I think God kicked in, came to my mercy, and we got it right that morning. In the beginning, God did create everything, heaven and earth and everything else. My second story involves some very precious people, friends of mine. Walter and Marilyn had moved to Rosetown. I don't know how long, because I didn't know them at the time. I knew of them, but I didn't know them. And this Sunday morning, we had a praise and worship in our church. And a lot of it was volunteer stuff, singing or playing or singing, whatever it could be. And I noticed they had several little boys, and one of them, I think, was Harley. Excuse me if it wasn't. But he had either prepared or he wanted to do something. I don't know what it was. It was down the basement, too, at that time. But he was having such a hard time. But I think he was afraid to get up and face the big crowd of people. So, and to this day, I don't remember if he ever did or not. But then a couple of Sundays ago, I noticed that Harley was up here, worshiping, singing, and leading the congregation in song. I think you were promoted, Harley. And I think it's so nice when people, when they start young, the children in church, they grow into church. And very often, when God wants, they become leaders in our church. Our next story is about Kyle and Allie. I don't think they're here this morning. When their little baby was born so premature, my heart just went out to them. Because I remembered my first little grandson was also born so premature. 3 months premature and just under 2 pounds. And so I just know the worries and the stress they must have had. You know, would he be fully developed, and was he ready to face this big world? But I think they must have nurtured him and raised him up to see. Now we see a happy little boy. And I had a little story to tell with that, because one day we met in the foyer, and he was a little bigger already. And we were just talking about how he had developed so quickly and so nicely. And I put my arms out to him, and right away he came to me. And I was so surprised, you know, that he would come to a stranger. And then his dad burst my bubble and said, "I think it's your shiny necklace he wants." And then there's this class that are just leaving home, family and friends, for the first time to further their education in university or college, or maybe even to find their first jobs. You have been promoted to further your growth and development, and I pray that you would consider this promotion as an opportunity for God's growth in you. In this class, I have my youngest granddaughter, Shaylin, who is going to the University of Manitoba, and I understand she has already started there. We want you to know that our prayers go with you all as you study, work, and find a home away from home. This also includes those of you who are back for your second, third, or even fourth year. We like to see you come back for the weekends and share your promotions with us. And then there is Tenley's story. This is the story of Jamie and Cody and their precious four little girls. And I feel so privileged to be part of their family. I have seen total exhaustion, sleepless nights, trips day after day to Winnipeg, to the hospital, and then over again. But then I've also seen the rebounds. I've seen joys and smiles and happy times. And I have also seen or heard what you have done. People give of themselves, they help, and give ways that I would never have thought of. And so unending. May God reward you and promote you for that. All of us have received promotions in one way or another in our lives. Working jobs, it's easy to detect, because a promotion usually comes with a raise in wages or more benefits or sometimes more authority. But sometimes they come when we least expect them and don't know exactly what to do with them or how to handle them. Let's remember, if it's from God, Philippians 2 verse 11 says, "For God is at work within you, helping you to want to obey him, and then helping you to do what he wants." So my question is, have you been promoted to where God wants you, or am I and you still a work in process?
Song, let's turn to number 582, "I'm Pressing On the Upward Way." I would invite you to rise and stay standing then for the benediction.
Thank you so much, Zelma, for your words this morning. Thank you. I don't think our morning would be quite complete if we didn't also extend our thankfulness to our hardworking, student-loving, and God-fearing superintendents, to Marilyn Dick and to Ingrid Friesen. Blessings and thank you for your continued dedication to the Sunday School, for the times of worship and prayer that you have every Sunday and arrange for that, for the singing, and for the dedication to finding teachers and letting them know that they are appreciated and blessed by God through your prayers and continued service. Thank you so much. Let's bow to pray. And now may the seed of Christ's word, planted and watered by the Holy Spirit, find root and grow in our hearts, so that our work and our relationships may reflect Christ's constant presence in the days ahead. The Lord bless you and keep you now and always.